Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. After extensive research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create Superfood Complete, made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several that are vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Tucker, oh, he loves it, and I'm sure yours will too. Go to badlandsfood.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsfood.com, badlandsfood.com/Zabe today. If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/Zabe. Winning season returns at mybookie.ag, and it's time to get in on the action. First-time players can get started by doubling your first deposit, giving you the firepower, pa-boom, to add excitement to the games you love. College football odds boosts, NFL lock of the week season, and over $500,000 in contest prizes live on-site to make winning this season your best ever with MyBookie. With a historic 18-week schedule offering more action than ever before, you need a sportsbook casino that's reliable, and you won't find a better place than MyBookie. I know you're going to bet this season, so do the smart thing and sign up with MyBookie and use our promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first ever deposit matched dollar for dollar. That's extra money credited to your account instantly just for using promo code ZABE and making your first deposit today. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie, and when you win, get paid. Today on the ZabeCast, a weekend of, well, I've never seen that in sports, including multiple things in baseball. Notorious J.A.Y. joins me to chew through week 5 in the NFL. Anybody up for Bills, Bucks in the Super Bowl? Urban Meyer's not just horny, but delusional, and John Gruden is a racist. All that plus a rousing rendition of F That Guy. Your 30-minute uncensored Zabe Express is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Tuesday, October 12, 2021. Thank you for downloading. Let me get to some electronic mail before I get to Jay. You can send them to zabe@yahoo.com. This one from my man Michael Hall. Hello, Mike. Wisconsin drinking problem? He writes as an Ohioan. In Illinois, Zabe, coming from Wisconsin, you're greeted with signs, literally road signs, that say alcohol limit 0.08. For the record, I have not seen those signs in Illinois coming from Indiana or Iowa or Missouri. So, yeah, you have a drinking problem. Do you think that's going to deter anybody from Wisconsin? This one from Phil Colocotronis. Bring back NFL talk on Mondays is the subject. Zabe, just a quick vote. Please bring back NFL Talk on your Monday edition of the Zabecast. Hold on. Who said we were having a vote? Are we having a vote? No vote. Right. Yeah. Dictatorship. Andy's usually your Monday guest, and he's very good with NFL Talk overall. I much prefer this to just college football talk or waiting for NFL Talk on Tuesdays. Thanks, Phil Colicatronis, Columbia, Maryland. That'd be a no. It's going to stay this way. I like it. I got the pod done and put to bed by 10 a.m. on Sunday, and I relaxed. Nothing hanging over my head. Just watched football all day. That is my new Sunday jam. Get that. There's so much to talk about anyway. It's got to be broken up into two chunks. So you just can't have to sit tight till Tuesday. Plus, you learn more. There's more stuff that comes out Sunday night. Quotes, sound bites, injuries, things that happened. Monday, the same thing. Wait till you hear this Urban Meyer quote that came out. Two things that make you go, oh, this guy so needs to get fired. This one from Josh Latanzi. Steve, great show as always, and as a DMV guy, always love hearing Andy. Occasional emailer, but definitely not a first time writing. The issue is the length of games in baseball, which you talked about with Andy, is never going to be addressed by nibbling around the edges with three-hitter minimums, pitch clocks, limiting mound visits, and on and on. Longer games are here to stay because it simply is an issue of more pitches being thrown. We can quibble over who's responsible, but that turns into a chicken or egg argument. Are pitchers nibbling because hitters are more selective, or do hitters adjust to the pitchers? Well, true, there's not enough balls in play. And there's not enough swinging at the ball. You could expand the strike zone. I'm not against experimenting with things like we're going to really start calling high strikes, low strikes, and everything else. To which I'm sure Angel Hernandez will say, good, right up my alley. I've been calling those for a while now when they're really balls. Anyway, he says this is essentially a root cause situation, but since part of the object of the game is to not make outs, the walk has been heightened in importance. Throw in the desire to get strikeouts while pitching and you have a recipe for lengthier games. Easy solution? Nope, but adding artificiality and continuing to worship the false god of replay, amen to that, certainly continues to make things worse. As for Andy's old man suggestion about fouling with two strikes and you're out, that was actually in the original rules. But sometime in the late 19th century, they changed it to the current setup with two strikes, except for bunting, obviously. That rule change might have been the most revolutionary one ever for reasons you mentioned. The fighting spirit of the hitter to stay alive with his back against the wall. Amen to that. I mean, that's baseball to me. Anyway, love the podcast. We'll keep listening as long as you keep dropping them. Continue to fight the good fight. Regards, Josh Latanzi. Okay. I don't know how much of the fight I'm fighting. I'm just trying to bring some common sense into the world one way or the other. Okay, let's get right to them. I got so much to talk about today. We're here for a good time, not a long time, so let's do it.
Hello.
Hello, Jay. Welcome to Tuesdays.
Yes, Tuesdays with Maury.
How do you feel about living on Tuesdays?
I don't really have any opinion on that. It makes no difference to me.
You did ask for a raise, and I agreed.
Yes.
Reluctantly.
Yes.
From zero to $1. Now, don't tell anyone else you're getting a dollar per episode. I'll have a fucking revolution on my hands here, all right? Do you want to have your mind blown with maybe the greatest stat of the day I've ever seen? One that I had to look up to make sure it was actually accurate.
What sport? Oh, before we start.
It's a football related, but it's a pop culture one that is right up your alley.
Okay, but before we start, fuck Carol. I forgot it.
Fuck
I forgot
Carol.
It last week.
Exactly.
Okay. Fuck. Go ahead. Her.
Okay. Continue. Okay, everyone back off here. This is your ultimate stat of the day, courtesy Super 70 Sports.
Stat of the day.
Did you know that Tom Brady is now older than Grady from Sanford and Son during the first two seasons of that television show.
He was older than Whit Mayo.
Whitman Mayo. Behold your stats of the day.
I'm going to take that to the next meeting and then throw that out, and everybody's mind will be blown.
For those that don't know, Grady looked just as old and raggedy as Fred Sanford, a.k.a. Red Fox. But he was only 42. Tom Brady looks fantastic, better than ever right now at 44. And good old Whitman Mayo.
Shady Grady, as he would sometimes call. You look like you half dead. I'm a little sick, Grady. That's why I had the doctor come here a little while ago.
Oh, God. They you know, the golden age of television.
I was telling a friend and I were talking about television, and I said, I will put up the first 3 years of Sanford and Son against anything, and it will come out pretty much even. Sanford and Son, the first 3 years, was as funny as television has ever been.
Yeah, good stuff.
There you go.
Okay, before we get to the football, let's talk baseball.
Yes.
Amazing, crazy things that most of us have never seen before in our life, including the Tampa Bay Rays getting completely fucked on the Kevin Kiermaier double that bounced off Hunter Renfro, not the football Hunter Renfro, oh, by the way.
Yes.
And bounces over the fence and prevents Edwin Diaz from coming home because...
That's the rule.
That's exactly right. Now, what do you make of the ninnies who wouldn't shut up about this on Sunday night, just belly aching up a storm and saying, we've got to change this? Or how about this? The dumber people going, well, why don't you just knock the ball over the fence next time? I'm like, have you thought about what that would take? Like the kind of mental dexterity and the perfection of like, okay, hold on, it's coming off the wall and ricochet bounce and whap. Okay. Yeah. And then turn around. Where is he? Fuck you.
In the words of Furio, no bitch to me.
No bitch to me is goddamn right. Those are the rules. And it's in my life, I've never seen anything quite like that. I saw a ball ricochet off of Jose Canseco's head.
But I've never seen.
Hit the ground. You know the radical rule change I suggested for this that would fix it? You ready? If it bounces over the fence, it's also a home run.
No.
I knew you wouldn't like that one. Here's the thing. The rules, Jay, can be anything you want them to be.
Over the fence is a home run. Anything other than that is not a home
right.
run.
Right. The reason that over the fence is a home run or a ground rule double is that you can't go chase the ball into the stand. That would be patently unfair. By the time you got over the fence, fought off a bunch of savage-ass Yankee fans, taking your life in your hands, you wouldn't be able to throw anybody out. So they just
Well, that's how it used to be in the 19s and – or what are the, well, not, is that? That's not the aughts. Well, no, the aughts and the early 11s and 10s.
Really?
And so they used to sell – you could stand in the outfield, and they would have a rope. And if your player hit a ball into that area, it was a double. But what some people would do is – if there was your guy, you pull the rope back.
This is some straight ass Ken Burns baseball shit you're talking about.
Yeah, they would. Yeah, I read this in a book and Ken Burns.
Okay.
But yeah, they would sell seats anywhere. Standing room was everywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, speaking of ropes, do you know where gallery ropes in golf came from?
Ooh, this ought to be good.
150 years plus ago, when old Tom Morris was playing money matches with his son over there at Carnoustie and whatnot, fans that would watch the matches were so intrusive and such hecklers to the players to try to win their bets, they would like stand in the bunkers and like crowd them and like sort of try to block their way. So they finally said, all right, we need some ropes to keep the fucking people away from the golfers. That was in the movie Tommy's Honor, which is not a terrible historical period piece on ancient golf.
Tommy's Honor.
Tommy's Honor, yes.
Okay, I will have to look for that one. I do love a good sports biographical movie.
You know, you know how young Tom Morris died at way too early an age, like 38 years old or something?
Whooping cough.
But basically, he got pneumonia playing a match at St. Andrews in a light snow on Christmas Day. But he won. He won the match, one up. So at least there was that. And then he fell ill and he fucking died.
And you're kind of asking for it. Okay. Well,
his beautiful bride died during childbirth while he was across.
Oh my God.
He was across the bay playing a match with his dad.
That sounds like the story in The Other Guys when they were singing at the bar. It sounds that sad.
But in Scotland they call it the happiest golf story ever, because they're such a dour lot. They're like, yeah, what are you gonna do? So anyway, that was Run Rule. The other one was the Yuri Gurriel throw that clipped Yasmani Grandal, shades of Reggie Jackson. In
putting his butt out in 77-78.
Right. And by the way, Jay, I rooted so hard for the Dodgers back then. My mom was a Brooklyn Dodger fan, so I wasn't going to root for the fucking Yankees. And I remember as a kid, 10 years old, I was outraged. I was like, how can the umpires not see that? Total cheater. I felt so wronged as a 10-year-old boy.
And just be, well, would you like to hear something in front of your mom? Hated the Yankees.
Yeah.
My dad did not want to be like the other kids in the neighborhood growing up, so he rooted against Jackie Robinson and the Dodgers and became a Yankee fan.
Your dad?
Yes.
Black
yes.
man. Rooted yes. against
yes.
Jackie fucking Robinson.
He did not want to be like everybody else and be a Dodger. Swear to God, this is a true story.
That is some serious black-on-black crime right there, brother.
My dad is the biggest. In the 1980s, Zabe, we had a satellite dish just so he could pick the games up. That's the only purpose that we had a satellite dish.
Oh, my God. I know your sweet mother has passed. Is your father around?
My dad is still around, yes.
What do you say we have a father-son podcast?
That'd be he's actually pretty funny. If you ever want to do that one day, yes.
Where does he live?
He lives in Virginia, right outside Richmond. He could regale you with stories about how in 115 pound football, my dad working the we were playing a game in literally a monsoon, Zabe. Literally a monsoon.
Yeah.
Of course then was probably light rain. But now the story has become a monster.
Okay.
He's working the sideline chains and I'm playing defensive back. The team that we're playing is driving. Nothing game, fourth quarter, like 30 seconds left. My dad yells to me, "Watch your side." And I look, go, "Huh?" Quarterback drops back, throws the ball, hits me right between the three and the three. I take it back 75 yards.
Wow.
Game winning score. All because of my dad was snitching and listening to the other team's plays.
That's classic right there.
So, yeah.
That's why you always bring your own chain gang to road games. Always.
Yes. So, yes. He can regale you with those tales. Yes.
You know, you and your dad in the van would be phenomenal. We got to set that up. The J.
Well, he probably,
the Jayco behind the music.
That'd be a good one.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So anyway, so here's what blew me away about the Grandal and Gurriel play. I think it was obvious that Grandal ran into the way of the throw, and he chicken winged it. What's crazy is that they explained on Baseball Tonight that runner's lane with the extra little chalk line doesn't mean shit.
It's up to the ump to decide.
Yes.
That's the part that never.
It doesn't mean anything. They say that the line taken by the runner is the official line to first base. And it's the fielders who have to work around that. And I'm like, well, then why even draw that extra fucking line?
That's 100. Well, that's why if there's a ball hit up the line, a good catcher. Or I'm sorry, a good fielder will tell the catcher where to throw because you just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the never seen it before, did you ever see Garcia replace Garcia to pitch to Garcia.
To Garcia. the triple Garcia factor. Yes.
I know Garcia's like Smith, you know, yeah, for Hispanic surnames, but true. Jesus Christ, Garcia for Garcia and pitch to Garcia. Have you ever seen somebody pulled into the end zone against their will, like Austin Eckler was?
That was very funny.
I mean, in your life, never seen that.
No.
Have you ever seen a double punt like the one Thursday night?
No. Okay, that one Seahawks I wanted to ask about. Is that legal?
It is, but some thought it should have been flagged that the kicker, I forget his name, was over the line of scrimmage, and that would be illegal. But two kicks behind the line of scrimmage is legal.
I've never heard of that one before in my entire
Never seen it. Michael Dixon is his name. He's an Aussie. So, like, being an Aussie, you're crazy and you play Aussie rules football. The fact that the thing was spinning at about 4,000 RPMs on its nose, and he scoops it up with one hand, like, all right, mate, I'll take your bingo to the bongo. Let's go, mate. And then he runs with it, and he's like, oh, shit, you know what? I can still kick this. And gets a good punt off. Was a hell of a feat, I thought.
Have we had a bad Monday, Sunday, Thursday night game? A bad one? I don't think we have.
Not
They've
yet.
They've all been entertaining. And watch, I say tonight.
Tonight will be a blowout. Shit bag game, yeah. How about this? Have you ever seen a kicker hit the wind flag and miss a field goal?
He thought he was right on.
Evan McPherson for the Bengals was already, you know, popping six guns and doing the shimmy shake, and it's like, no, you missed, and it went poof. It hit the fucking streamer at the top of that goal. You know those uprights are 40 feet tall? They're massive. They made them taller. They used to be only 30 feet above the crossbar. And they're like, these kickers are too good, too strong. We got to make them even higher. And he poofed the flag on the outside of it.
And I thought, if you hit the string. No, I guess that would make no sense.
Okay.
Because it's to the outside of it.
All right. So are you ready for the definition if the ball goes over the top of the goalpost?
Please. Wait a minute. That happened once, too.
Oh, it's happened multiple times.
Yeah.
But it's such a lick and a promise, pig and a poke judgment call. It's kind of ridiculous. Basically, as long as the outside edge of the football does not break the outside plane of the post, it's good.
Okay.
Got it?
All right. That makes sense.
Yeah. So unlike in tennis, where if the inside edge of the ball is just grazing the outside edge of the line, it's still good. It's different, apparently, in football. It has to have been perceived to be partially over the goalpost, not entirely. But how are you going to spot that if you're a fucking referee sitting below? Ball's flying over your head. It's a guess.
That's why we need Eddie Hockley back.
Yeah.
Well, not a Sean Hockley fan, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not?
I'm being funny.
Son of a legend.
Oh, you don't care. I can care less. Yeah, I can care less.
Oh, I'd love to have Hockley back. I'd love to have Gene Steratore back. These guys were good. No, not a fan of Steratore.
No, not at all.
Why not?
Terrible basketball and football official. Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
All right, let's go through the league at week 5. Steelers win. How you feeling now? You're alive.
Well, they ran the ball and limited Big Ben to like 18 attempts and got a win. That's a recipe for having a shitty quarterback.
Okay. There you go. Did you happen to, I'm sure you probably didn't see this, Good Morning Football and Kyle Brandt did a piece where Brandt pretended to be a trainer, a boxing trainer, giving Big Ben a pep talk.
Oh, was he trying to be funny?
No, I thought it was pretty good.
Okay. Are you a Kyle Brandt fan?
Only because he knows me and likes me.
You know Kyle Brandt? Okay, I didn't know that.
He's
okay.
A SoCal guy. He knows me. He's a fan of mine of sorts. He had heard me on Fox Sports Radio. Heard you too back in the day.
On The Real World.
I know, right? That's the thing. You know, devastatingly handsome. you know, just big square jaw. No,
I have good looking guy. I have no opinion. I would just say, I have no opinion of Kyle Brandt.
Yeah. Did you also see, by the way, CBS had a short film called The Move, and it told the story of how the Colts left Baltimore in the middle of the night.
I lived it.
Okay. Do you know how they got out in the middle of the night?
The Mayflower Vans.
All right. How?
Robert Irsay called them because that night, and I believe, Zabin, it was a Wednesday, because it had snowed that night, and we were off school the next day. I remember getting reports on television. There are Mayflower Vans at the Colts Owings Mills complex. And they took everything, the furniture from the everything. And this was a really new complex, the practice facility, and took everything and went out under cover of the night.
Okay. You don't even know the story. The story apparently is some guy went there with cash to a fraternity, a frat house, and promised these frat boys $10 an hour to pack everything up in the middle of the night. Don't ask any questions. Put them on a bus.
I have heard that one also. Yes,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it was a great theatrical portrayal of what that was like. And at first, you know, these frat boys, they were like drinking, getting high, and just fucking around playing video games. Like, yeah, no, we're not moving anything right now. It's like 1 a.m. Fuck off. And they're like, no, we'll pay you good money. And the guy goes, how many of us do you need? He goes, all of you. So they took a whole frat house, basically, and they walked them through, and they're like, pack this up? Yes. Pack that up? Yes. What's going on here? No questions. And then they were packing up the locker rooms, and the one kid goes, well, there's some personal stuff here. And the guy goes, don't worry, they'll get it when they get to Indianapolis. And he goes, Indianapolis? So that was the first little tip at what was going on. They pointed to the Super Bowl trophy, and they go, pack this up? And the guy goes, it's not bolted down, is it? No? Pack it up.
I believe they were from Towson State at the time.
Okay. It's a really cool little mini film, about 6-7 minutes long. It was actually, they spent money on a pregame show, Jay, and they did something creative, which is extremely rare these days. You know what I mean?
They didn't have four guys yelling, no?
Well, they had that, but at least they had something that was high value, in my opinion. All right, Bills-Bucks Super Bowl. Are you ready?
Yeah, I think the Bills are for real. I think Josh Allen might be for real. When they limit him, game one against the Steelers, he threw 45 times. Didn't work out. I believe he threw like 27 or 25 yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Worked out well. So,
do you know the highest ranking of any defensive category for the Chiefs is 28th?
Oh, they're terrible.
They are terrible.
They're terrible. By the way, should we all blame this on Andy Reid's son?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah, okay.
He's a dick who drove while he was not proper to drive, drunk, or kept up on goofballs, and fucking nearly killed a little girl. And I don't know what her condition is now, because, you know, it's impolite to talk about that shit. You know, like, oh, we can't talk about it now.
I believe she might be
in fucking jail.
I believe she might be. She might have like brain damage.
Update on girl Andy Reid's kid smashed into. That's a pretty clumsy Google search right there. March 2nd of this year, young girl likely suffered permanent brain damage.
Yeah.
In Britt Reid crash. Yeah. So, yeah, I have no use for that. I wouldn't say there's a direct correlation, but they're bad on defense. Speaking of bad on defense, how about the Washington football team?
I saw Albert I. Goldie with the tweet, and he was running down all the stats, and he said, Heineke played his worst game of the year. And I was like, Al, there'll be more to come.
The defense, though. Here was the end of half Hail Mary, all right there? The end of half Hail Mary that left people completely perplexed as to who the fuck coaches up end of half or end of game Hail Mary defenses.
Here is Winston, just going to take his shot, throwing towards the end zone, and it is caught! My goodness! Touchdown! Winston's prayer is answered!
Nobody on the Wolfskins jumped! Nobody! Like, it was the easiest flat-footed, are you going to go for that Hail Mary I've ever seen? And then, Jay, after the game, Rivera was pressed on it, and he goes, what I see? They threw it, and they caught it. That's all there is. And they're
Riverboat Ronnie.
Yeah, and they're like, you sure you don't want to say anything else? He's like, look, man, sometimes those things happen. And people were just, like, those are the kind of things from Rivera that make me go, this shakes my confidence in him, that he could be so defiantly clueless. He claimed, he's like, our guys jumped. No, they didn't. Watch the play again.
Oh, God, Ron.
Anyway, that said, they're an 0-5 team and a 2-3 wrapper, and there's more bad games to come for sure for Taylor Heinicke.
Yes, it will, yes.
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Winning season returns at mybookie.ag, and it's time to get in on the action. First-time players can get started by doubling your first deposit, giving you the firepower, pa-boom, to add excitement to the games you love. College football odds boosts, NFL lock of the week season, and over $500,000 in contest prizes live on-site to make winning this season your best ever with MyBookie. With a historic 18-week schedule offering more action than ever before, you need a sportsbook casino that's reliable, and you won't find a better place than MyBookie. I know you're going to bet this season, so do the smart thing and sign up with MyBookie and use our promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first ever deposit matched dollar for dollar. That's extra money credited to your account instantly just for using promo code ZABE and making your first deposit today. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie, and when you win, get paid. Did you see Dan Campbell cried after losing again at the gun?
I did. To a kid. And I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Go ahead. They've been playing their asses off, and they've had the worst. I mean, they left too much time, I guess. But
it was Kirk. It's like 39 seconds.
The only person who thought he was going to win that is Charch.
So exactly.
Here
is Campbell.
When you see your players give all that they have and you lose that way, it's tough. You know, you don't want that for them. So, but we'll be better for it, you know. And there again, credit Minnesota, but, you know, we made the one mistake that cost us, you know. And
a little bit too much feminine energy for me. Especially for a guy who talked about chewing off kneecaps in his opening presser.
When you get your nuts kicked in 2 weeks in a row, Zabe, you got to, it's nothing you can do but cry.
You're 0-5. He got more but, crying. Your tear ducts will dry up. You're coaching the Lions, bro.
Speaking of crying, are we going to talk about Randy Moss?
We can talk about, well, the Gruden thing is a big meatball I wanted to get to once Thank I ran you. Through some of the okay. football stuff.
I'll wait till the end then.
Okay. By the way, would you rather have your coach horny or weepy? Horny Urban Meyer or weepy Dan Campbell? I'll hang up and listen off the air.
I'll take weepy over a horn doll coach.
Did you? Okay. So here's how clueless Urban Meyer is. The Jaguars rushed for a pretty robust 198 yards. And he said, you know what? I like our offensive identity right now. Says he wants 250-250, meaning 250 yards passing and 250 yards rushing.
Herbert, you're not playing Youngstown State.
Right. This falls under the category of, tell me you have no idea how the NFL works without telling me you have no idea how the NFL works. He really said that. You know what else he said?
I wonder what job he'll take next year. I know. When he's coaching college.
He's going to take your SC job. Buckle up. Get ready to jump off of that ship when he comes on board. You know that's going to happen.
Go Hokies.
Go Hokies. Not only did he say that, which is stupid on its face, only three teams last year rushed for 250 yards all season. That's 256 games? And there was three times it happened. So that's stupid. But also, he said that he didn't think that Trevor Lawrence was comfortable running the quarterback sneak. And then Trevor Lawrence said, yeah, no, that's not the case. I'm like, you're going to admit five games into the year that you spend no time getting your quarterback, who's a pretty big dude and ran the ball quite a lot in college, to learn how to fucking sneak it? Everyone knows how to sneak it. Take snap, press forward immediately through one of the A gaps. Pick one, left or right.
Well, if you remember, Todd Haley or Ben Roethlisberger said there was never a sneak in the Todd Haley playbook.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
There should always be a sneak in your playbook. Yeah, you kidding me?
I know. But I'm just telling you what he said.
Yeah. Okay. Trey Lance, not quite ready to be playing full-time. I watched a good chunk of that Arizona-San Francisco game. He's obviously got some raw talent, but man, Kyle Shanahan ran his ass a lot in that game.
Because that's all he has to do. Trey Lance, not a great thrower of the football yet.
Not yet. Maybe there at some point, but they ran him a lot. Other quarterbacks I saw running. So, first of all, Lance went head first at the goal line.
Yeah,
did you see that play?
Not smart.
Fucking stoned. Joe Burrow got completely blown up, diving headfirst for a first down in the middle of the game. Daniel Jones thought, oh, watch, I'll just lower my head and take on a linebacker. How'd that work out for him?
Concussion.
These quarterbacks, they should learn from Brady, Rodgers, Wilson. They all do the bitch slide and don't think twice about it.
Just because, you know, like Jim Brown used to make fun of Franco Harris
for running out of bounds.
Let's look at Franco. Let's look at Jim Brown right now. So
Franco may be an asshole, but you know what? That's the smartest thing ever. Like, okay, why take a guy on a yard from the sideline? What's that going to prove?
Again, Franco won that one.
Okay. Anything else from the week in football before we turn to the big one, which is John Gruden?
It was a great weekend of college football.
I know. I talked about it yesterday. What did you like the most? One thing that shook out on Monday I hadn't seen was the family of the kicker for Texas A&M, Seth Small. They put a camera on them, and it was pretty cool.
Well, and Texas A&M is something I would like. Someone has to explain to me. So they're not a military school, but why does everybody dress up like they're in the military?
They have a very strong cadet presence. And I can't fully explain. I'm sure I'll get an email explaining Texas A&M 101. Where I learned about just how big A&M is down in Texas and how seriously they take their football and how frustrated they are that they have been kind of irrelevant for a long time. Maybe going back to the Jackie Sherrill days. Remember
when
those
he
days?
When he started cheating and he started winning.
Yeah, well, there was a little bit of Johnny Manziel, which gave him some relevance. But, you know, they believe they're on par with Texas and with the other big boys of the Deep South. That's what they believe. They have, I mean, because their football history goes way back, you know? Like, they were the big shit, like, 50 years ago kind of thing.
Well, Bear Bryant coached there.
Well, not 50, but 60 years ago. Yeah, exactly, right. So I don't know what the cadet thing is. I do love it, though. I love that wrinkle at their stadium. And I love the scene. I'd love to go to a game there. I'd love to go to a game on all these Southern tier college factories.
I just don't get the uniforms. But that was a great game.
They're military, Jay. They wear uniforms.
But they're not really military.
Yeah,
they're an agricultural school.
Well, I think the cadets are military. I think they're like ROTC.
But they're like ROTC. they're not real.
What do you mean? Like they couldn't invade a country?
Right. They couldn't invade El Paso. What do you mean? Couldn't invade a country. Well,
you are fucking invoking the wrath. A, we're both talking out our asses because we don't know anything about
They are not military. They have no military relevance whatsoever. They made that shit up. Like if I wanted to call Mount St. Joe Military School, we can make that shit up. That's what A&M, it's a agricultural school. It's not a military school.
The Corps of Cadets is the oldest student organization on campus.
Organization. So they made that shit up. They're not affiliated with the United States military whatsoever.
During World War II, boots could not be made due to the rationing of leather. Because of this, incoming senior cadets had to buy their special senior boots from former students. Hey, how about that?
Again. So, like I said, they're made up. They wear stuff to the games. I mean, they have bonfires on Friday. Yay.
Hey, all right, hold on. Cadets in the Corps live a disciplined lifestyle while gaining practical experience in leadership and organizational management. Don't hear anything about shooting guns or driving tanks.
Can I quote Elaine Bennett's fake?
Participation in the Corps of Cadets helps prepare them for the global leadership challenges of the 21st century. I'm still looking. Still looking for the part where they're like, shoot, kill, invade.
Yes.
The Corps of Cadets has many programs that are specifically designed to prepare cadets for leadership roles in the U.S. military, as well as corporate America, government service, and the private sector. Fake. You're right.
Fake.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I bet you
they look cool.
It's Texas. You give them guns, they'll fuck somebody up.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Like shoot themselves. I'm just still mad they got rid of the bonfire. You know, the annual bonfire.
Didn't somebody die or something?
Somebody, I think like two or three kids died. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't mean quit. Just make it safer. That's just my feeling on that. Anything else on the college football landscape? There's five amazing finishes. Okay.
That's it.
Let's get to John Gruden. Let me say this, and then the floor is yours. He has a fucking racist ass heart. I can't say that he is racist all the time to everybody, but that is some racist ass shit to put that in an email about Maurice, DeMaurice Smith. Like that is a dehumanizing racist trope that anyone with a brain and a sense of sensibility doesn't even think of uttering, much less putting in a fucking email. And then to explain it away like, well, it's because he's a liar and I call people that have liars rubber lips and that rubber is Michelin. Yeah. Fuck John Gruden. Floor is yours.
I know you will never say anything like that stupidly, but if you do, don't ever ask me to cape up for you.
Oh,
the same way that I got angry when I heard people like, well, the Italian Stallion, Mike Tirico.
Oh boy.
Tony Dungy, Charles Woodson, and oh my God. Oh, Jesus Christ. Brown from the Notre Dame and the Raiders. Shit. Why do I
Tim Brown?
God damn.
So they all kind of rallied to but John Gruden's been around a long time. I bet he's not racist.
I know him. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
You know him on set. That's it. You don't know, and you know him as a coach. That's it.
Yeah.
I hate when people try to cape up and say, well, I know them. No, you don't. You just know them from what you see them for the 7 or 8 hours a day. You don't know what they're like 24/7.
So, you and I are in agreement on that. Randy Moss cried on the set of NFL Countdown on ESPN.
Rex Ryan, by the way, said nothing.
But he started crying. Sam Ponder started to well up as well.
Sam Ponder cried, yes. Didn't see the Good Hassle back. He just said something like, the locker room will straighten that out, which is kind of – I think Gruden has now lost the team.
Oh.
This is the team losing.
They didn't look that sharp against the fucking Bears. I wish before making them my lock of the week, I would have known this would have come out. Because, no, this is a very egregious thing to say and to put in writing.
And this is the only thing they pulled out? By the way,
Are you shocked
Bruce Allen's in on this too?
No, not shocked at all, though, because they're boys. They're boys from going back to the days of the Raiders. No, here's the thing. There's apparently like 6 emails that have been pulled and flagged as problematic. He apparently, called Goodell a name, but they didn't release what that was. Now, that's one I can get behind, because Goodell is a fucking stooge. But that said, I don't know how you square this. I don't know if I was a player, I'd be like, oh, so you put this in emails, huh, about the leader of the union. Okay, that's good. And what you say behind my back,
So what will
the NFL's punishment be?
Well, I was looking into punishments, predating punishments. I didn't know the league, I forgot about this, they suspended Terrell Pryor for shit that happened at Ohio State.
Oh, yeah.
For 6 games.
Yeah. It was like performance enhancing drug use, I believe. What was it? It's Terrell Pryor for his troubles off the field.
He got suspended 6 games. They have to do something to John Gruden.
And yet I get the feeling.
They probably won't.
I get the feeling it'll be a major fine. It'll be sensitivity training. And that'll be it. I don't think it's in the NFL's interest to actually suspend him. Here's the other problem. I wouldn't be against a big suspension like the rest of the year. But that's not going to fix the problem. The problem is he felt comfortable enough in an email saying something like that. That's a problem for him.
I just found it angry that he also called DeMaurice a dumbass. This is
right.
DeMaurice graduated from Virginia with a PhD, yes. I believe. John Gruden graduated from Dayton.
Yeah, he's far smarter than Gruden.
Yes.
In just about every other area than calling up Spider Y2 Banana. Or whatever the fuck he does.
If you had to fight either one of the Gruden brothers, whose ass would you kick harder, Jay or John's?
John for the trophy, because, then better rep. To be able to get the cell phone, to be able to get the World Star Hip Hop video of, oh, look at this random guy beat up John Gruden. That'd be cool. Yeah.
Jay had the punchable face also, though.
Oh, totally. Totally. So anyway, I don't know what happens. I mean, you know me, Jay, I'm anti-throwing people away for one mistake. I'm anti-cancel culture. I'm believer of
true.
If there's gray area and someone is genuinely contrite, I don't believe in one strike and you're done for good. But this is egregious. This reveals a much darker heart.
And he says, well, I don't want to get into this anymore. Really?
Yeah.
Because it was 11 years ago. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who cares 11 years ago?
Okay. All right.
Knock on wood if you're with me. whatever.
To think
that Chip Kelly was branded a racist just because he lacked emotional intelligence with the Eagles. You know, and LeSean McCoy, who's a piece of shit, didn't like him. To think that John Gruden can survive this, I don't know, man. We'll see. We'll see. The problem is Gruden is this well-liked league caricature. You know, he's a mascot of sorts, right?
Because he's got that stupid Chucky face.
Yes, and he's got the act. And the fact that Caliendo did him only elevated him as this character. He's a major attraction in the Disney world that is the NFL. Whether he wins or loses. Oh, look at old John Gruden. Look at him. Look at Chucky. He's so intense. He's so funny saying things.
Do you think the NFL has the stones to do something?
No.
It's not the NBA.
I do not.
Not the NBA. The NBA would have suspended him already. This I know.
That's a good point.
Speaking of NBA, I was out to dinner Saturday night with a bunch of broadcasters from the Baltimore area.
Oh, really?
And we were discussing what are the Bucks doing with their television and radio play-by-play? Okay, I don't want to get you in trouble.
No trouble whatsoever. They hired Lisa Byington from the Big Ten to be their television play-by-play. She's probably okay. The one that I cannot stand is Beth Mowins because she's got a puke voice, like a lot of bad male broadcasters. But because she's a female, she's trying to play in a deeper register. And here's the drive of Beth Mowins down the field, you know. I don't know about Lisa Byington, but I know this. It was a good time for her to be a woman for that job, that's for sure. They have a very progressive, very woke ownership group.
Okay.
So that's what they're doing there. The radio, they actually just named the guy. It's this guy, Dave Kane, Kohen, from Virginia. He'd been calling Virginia.
Yeah, okay, because we were talking about now the Virginia job is open, and everybody's saying what a good gig that is.
It's not bad. It's a Division I national championship play-by-play job for radio, which I don't know. I'm surprised they have radio play-by-play for the NBA to begin with, because who the fuck listens to them?
Nobody listens, that's true. Maybe you should get your tape ready. You did games. You could be UVA.
I'll tell you this. This will sound cocky, but it's not if you can back it up. I'd fucking kill that job. I could absolutely rat-a-tat-tat, play-by-play, and sound really, really good. But you see, these NBA teams are treating their broadcast positions as sort of storefront windows for their progressiveness. You know, they want people that are younger, that look good, and also tick off certain boxes. They don't want good. Good doesn't matter. If good mattered, Buckhantz would still be doing the Wizards.
A freaking man.
Same thing for Phil Chenier. They were just too old. And it didn't mean that their analysis of the league was not accurate or good or insightful. It was just like, who are these guys? These teams think in terms of, well, can we open a sales pitch with somebody by saying, come meet our broadcasters. And then when they're old guys that, you know, one's a player from the 70s, the other guy's a nearly 60-year-old white guy, they're like, yeah, I don't know. So they're like, oh, Ashton Kutcher and Drew Gooden. There.
Well, plus they want you to do all types of – did you hear how Steve Colby lost his job?
Yes. Okay, this is a good story for those listening. So Steve Colby, friend of ours – Mount St. Joe grad. He worked his way into a play-by-play job with the Washington Capitals, NHL franchise. He was a board op at WTEM. Back in the early 90s, but because he had a big voice, and he was a big guy, he is a big guy,
yes.
And he had a big voice, and he was a passionate guy. Somebody caught the ear of somebody in the organization. They gave him the play-by-play job. It's incredible, right? So he has made it. This is Cinderella time. He's living in the castle. He's got a regular play-by-play job. They start to tell him sometime around 2000 or thereabouts, hey, Steve, you know, I know you're used to getting 3 months off in the summer, but we're going to need you to do this, this, and this as new media was starting to spool up. And we need to do this, this, and this. And he's like, I can't do that. In the summer, I've got my bass fishing tournaments that I'm already signed up for. And they're like, really? And he's like, really? And they said, you're out.
Yeah. Yes.
Bass fishing. He didn't yes. want to give up his bass fishing.
He died summer. On that hill.
I mean, I don't, and maybe he regrets it. Have you talked to him since? 100.
I talked to Colby a couple times about 2 to 3 years ago. He never said he regretted it, but I'm sure he does.
Who's got bigger regret, Colby for doing that or Bram Weinstein for not having an agent and being up for renewal at ESPN, the worldwide leader, and then having them shove an offer in front of him that said, you've got 24 hours, take it or leave it. And he said, well, I thought we'd be having a discussion here. And then they're like, that's it, you're out.
You're out, yeah. And that's basically how he was like, are we going to go back and forth? And they're like, no. Yeah.
I can't believe he didn't have an agent. You got to have an agent at that level. Hire one, somebody, anybody, somebody respectable, not to necessarily bang ESPN for a Berman-like contract. He wasn't going
to
do that.
But just make sure all the T's and I's are dotted across.
To be a buffer, the agent then interfaces with management, and they say all the right things, and the agent goes, yeah, I know, and you've got a lot of other guys on ESPN News, but listen, my guy Bram, he's really good. You put him on your SportsCenter commercials. You want to stay in that business, right? And then you take their offer, shitty as it may be, as the agent, you turn around and you go to Bram and you go, look, I know it's not a ton of money. You wanted more, but you're in a good spot here. You're on SportsCenter promo commercials. That's really good.
I was going to say, yeah, you're up and coming.
Yeah. Let's play this out. Let's stay inside the tent here and let's see how it works out. That's what an agent does.
Speaking of no agents, so I'm with also at this dinner were a few Ravens beat reporters.
Okay.
And they said, and I quote, Lamar Jackson has lost hundreds of millions of dollars letting his mother be his agent.
Does not surprise me.
Yes.
Does he not have a marketing agent?
No.
No agents.
No agents.
Mom did the contract. Mom does the marketing.
He doesn't have a contract yet. So it's literally, well, he's losing money.
His NFL
every
contract.
Day. His first right, but he's re-upping for this year.
Yeah. No, see, most guys of note in the NFL have two agents, at least. They've got their agent that negotiates with the league and the team's contract agent, and then they got a marketing agent that puts the smaller deals together.
I would have hired Clutch Sports so quickly, your head would have spun. But no, he's got his mother, and he's kinda, they said hundreds and millions of dollars.
Kind of makes me like him a little bit more. Just saying.
Why?
That's stupid, but he's humble. Guy. That's why he's humble. He doesn't care, about all that guy. Money stuff, Jay. Money. Who needs money? Okay.
Fuck that guy.
All right, Jay, who is your FTG for the week?
Again, running away with the title, the Ric Flair of the Fuck That Guy.
Woo!
Badass Jason Whitlock.
What now?
Who called Randy Moss weak and womanry for womanly. Crying on the set.
Right.
Womanly. For crying on the set.
Yeah, yes. It's called a weak feminine energy.
Yes, yes. Hey, shut the fuck up, you fat pig.
So to Jason Whitlock for the... We should really count the number of times.
We should just call it the Whitlock. Don't even say fuck. Who gets this week's Whitlock?
I'm going to say conservatively this is his fifth title.
I'm going to say eight.
You want to say eight? You want to put the official number at eight? Let's compromise. Seven-time winner of Jay's Fuck That Guy, Jason Whitlock.
Yes.
All right, my FTG goes to one J.R. Smith, who shot 81 as a freshman walk-on for North Carolina A&T and golf.
The Aggies.
35 years old, two-time NBA champ, $100 million-plus in the bank, and he's trying to play college golf because he technically has eligibility left. He, beat one person at this tournament, this low-level tournament, at whatever division North Carolina A&T is. And I don't want to hear anyone spin it like, oh, no.
They're Division One.
Okay. I don't want to hear anything about he earned his way on the team or he's not taking a spot away from anybody. Bull to the fucking shit. You're 35. You're a former NBA player. I'm happy you can break 80. Fuck off. Go play with your friends. Don't try to play in college. Sorry, J.R. Smith, but fuck that guy. All right, Jay, anything else before we wrap it today?
Yes, I'm good.
Okay. As always, as Ken Beatrice used to like to say,
bye-bye now.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great Tuesday, and we will see you next time. Winning season returns at mybookie.ag, and it's time to get in on the action. First-time players can get started by doubling your first deposit, giving you the firepower, pa-boom, to add excitement to the games you love. College football odds boosts, NFL lock of the week season, and over $500,000 in contest prizes live on-site to make winning this season your best ever with MyBookie. With a historic 18-week schedule offering more action than ever before, you need a sportsbook casino that's reliable, and you won't find a better place than MyBookie. I know you're going to bet this season, so do the smart thing and sign up with MyBookie and use our promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first ever deposit matched dollar for dollar. That's extra money credited to your account instantly just for using promo code ZABE and making your first deposit today. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie, and when you win, get paid.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.